Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Belle. We trust you had a great Labor Day. We had a wonderful time praying for partners.
Yes.
To get a better job, benefits, bonuses. And other stuff.
And just, yes, general blessings.
A lot of blessings.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you.
Today we're going to talk about seven ways to recognize a God idea.
Mm.
Now, there are good ideas and God ideas. Question is, how can you tell the difference? There are seven ways to recognize a God idea. First, pray. If you feel peace, it's God's idea. The key to developing a peace factor in your life to know the Word and pray it. If you don't have confidence in the Word of God, you'll never have peace. Why worry about situations when you can pray the Word and give it all over to God and let Him deal with it? Praying with confidence in the Word is the antibiotic for the disease of a worried mind.
Mm.
And as we've said for years, if you worry about situations, it means you don't trust God. Gain strength, comfort, and yes, peace. With John 14:27 in the
Classic Amplified Bible. One of my favorites.
Absolutely. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled.
Wow.
Notice the last verse or the last sentence in that verse. It's the bottom line on how you act and react to adversity. It says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled.
Wow. Second, does it line up with God's word? God will never give us an idea, a directive, a new thing, or anything from him that conflicts with his own word. It just will never happen. How can we be so sure? Well, scripture says in Mark 3:24, Classic Amplified says, and if a kingdom is divided in rebellion against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. God will never lead you to do something that does not line up with his word.
So true.
You will never receive an unction of the Holy Spirit that is outside God's word. If there's misdirection involved, you can rest assured it was not from God. And one more thing that we feel, well, rather stirred to say. We call it the 1-2 punch to know if your idea lines up with the word. Number one, you can't think as the world thinks. Proverbs 4:23 in the New Century Version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. We recently did a very good study on that. If you want to know if your idea is a God idea, live the words of Romans 12:2, quoting this from the New Living Translation, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Hallelujah.
And number two, when you think like he does, you're going to know if you have a God idea.
So true. Third, is the idea in line with your God-given vision? If you don't have a God-given vision for your future, keep pursuing God until you realize the one that he's been trying to give you. God is not hiding his vision for your future from you, playing some sort of spiritual hide and seek. If you don't have a vision, somewhere you've lost or you're ignoring the revelatory insight that God is trying to give you. Habakkuk 2:2 came clearly into our minds. It is the scripture that the Lord gave when he gave us for you. And it says, and the Lord said, write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision shall speak. It will surely come. it will not tarry. The contemporary English version of that scripture, Habakkuk 2:2, says it this way. Then the Lord told me, I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to read at a glance. Your vision must be written down very clearly. If you're asking yourself what your vision should be, and ask yourself this, what lives passionately in your heart? Whatever you love God,
whatever you love, God has placed in your heart for
a reason. Thank you. Thank you.
You just need to keep reviewing that vision. I mean, something lives in you. Something's passionate in you. And he will just keep pursuing him, and he will make it clear and precise about what you need to do with it.
Yes, he will.
Fourth, assuming you're married. I am.
50 years, 6 months.
Are both of you in agreement with this vision? You know, the most unwise thing a Christian can do.
Dumbest.
That one might be what my husband would say.
Yep.
Is not to be in agreement with your spouse about a God idea. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The contemporary English version of Genesis 2:24 says, that's why a man will leave his own father and mother. He marries a woman, and the two of them become like one person. Please notice that the scripture says the husband and the wife become one person. You know, it's going to be hard to live in a house where you're, well, not in great agreement. So if a spiritual house doesn't need to be divided against itself,
true,
you need to work at and work out being able to agree, even if at times it's agree to disagree. But the point of it is one flesh doesn't mean you become one flesh, but it means that, well, you are working at being in agreement over the things that are very important to your life. And it comes over time. In Amos 3:3, the New Living Translation, it says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? That says a lot. You know, there are times, which it happens, that a spouse is a heathen. You know, I say heathen, but they're not saved. They're not interested in things of God or achieving the success he's ordained for us. Sometimes two people get married and they are neither one Christian. And then one gets saved. Most often I've ever seen, the Lord will bring the other one around. But sometimes it takes a little persevering in the word to get it there. Anyway, and it's an unfortunate situation when you're dedicated to the Lord, you know, and want to do a certain thing and your spouse is just not into it. But the point of it is God will always be there with you. He will help you. He will lead you. And he will truly, you know, he can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're single, follow, you know, and you don't have a spouse, it's easier to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the key is follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether you're single or married.
Amen. Fifth, God will never tell you to do something that causes confusion. Our Heavenly Father is a God of order. Confusion, well, that's the devil's anointing. Peace encourages where confusion drives.
That's right.
If you feel driven, stop, because the enemy is in your camp.
That is so true.
From the first scripture till the last, God brought order out of chaos and confusion. Read the first three verses of Genesis. Where you find sin, you'll find confusion. That's what it says. James 3:16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work.
Mm.
Bottom line, God will give you ideas to bring order, but he will never give you an idea to create what he hates, confusion.
Sixth, get confirmation from someone in your inner circle. Who forms your inner circle? Is it your best friend at work, people in the neighborhood, somebody you grew up with, those you played, you know, ball with or took a Pilates class with or You know what I mean? Somebody you met at church. The point of it is name the people you consider in your inner circle. How many are there? One or two or seven or more? What qualities does that person in your inner circle have other than just familiarity? You run into each other. What does the word say about who should be in your inner circle? Jeremiah 23, verse 18 in God's Word Translation says, "Who's in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word?" If your inner circle is comprised of people who listen, pay attention, and act on the word of God, and that is their heart's desire, then you've got a group with which you can share your ideas and encouragement. But let us share a basic medical fact. Everybody has a brain. Whether or not you use it or choose to use it is another matter, but you have one. So every born-again believer has, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16 has the mind of Christ. So the point of it is you want to have it fully and functioning in you at all times. And you want it in your friends, especially if you're letting them be a part of your inner circle.
Yes. Seventh, when God gives you an idea, it will not go away. God gave you one of his ideas, not just for you to play with, tell your friends about. No, God gave you a creative idea for you to do something with it. I'm not sure who said this next quote. Frankly, I wish I had. Nevertheless, whoever said it is powerful. Here it is. God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supplies. I like that. It's up to you to provide daily nourishment for your idea. You're the one for whom it will grow and multiply. How do you provide the nourishment for these ideas? Seven words. Read your Bible. Do what it says. When God gives you an idea, he expects you to do it. God doesn't mind if you ponder, consider, reflect, pray, or meditate, as long as you then get up and do it. And he's not looking for excuses from you or for you to blame someone else as to why you cannot do what he asks you to do. You can have a God idea, but it must be in God's timing or it will be a failure. In life, timing is critical. You need to understand God's timing and fulfilling your destiny. Think on these things. Hallelujah. And for everybody that we prayed for on Labor Day, what a joy, what an honor.
Amen.
And we're waiting to hear
your testimony
of miracle breakthroughs.
Amen.
All right. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.